Okay, welcome back this weekend to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker Campbell, and as promised, it is time to dive into some college basketball as hoop season is really heating up. And my point guard tonight that we have invited back absolutely lives for this time of year, and that, of course, is sports writer Ken Davis. He has, in fact, he's already punched his ticket. He will be in Dallas for this year's men's Final Four. In fact, it's his 30th consecutive Final Four. Give you some play-by-play on Ken. He is nationally recognized for his outstanding work as a sports writer and author. And once again, that's why we've invited him back, because we're going to talk about his new book, 100 Things Kansas Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Hi, Kenny. How are you?
Great to be back, Elissa. Thanks a lot.
Okay, you ready for a little give and go?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's talk about your Kansas Jayhawks, because despite the loss last Saturday at Oklahoma State at Gallagher-Iber Arena in Stillwater, KU takes the Big 12 title outright. They lock up as the number one seed in the Big 12 Conference Tournament. However, share with our listeners tonight, because it has not been all smooth sailing for KU this year, especially when you encounter a desperate team like Oklahoma State.
Well, the Big 12 has just been, you know, one night after another. It's whoever needs the win the most. It seems, you know, it's one of those seasons where somebody needs that win a little bit more, and Oklahoma State's sort of in a desperate mode, and, you know, they went down to Stillwater, and they played a really bad second half. The first half was pretty competitive, but, you know, Marcus Smart got hot, and the, you know, the Cowboys need these wins now after Marcus had that suspension, and they lost seven in a row, and they got behind the eight ball, really, to get the end of the tournament after, you know, a lot of people picked them at the beginning of the season to end KU's streak of Big 12 championships, and, you know, that made a lot of sense. But then they really struggled. They weren't playing well before Marcus got the suspension for that little altercation that he had down there in Texas Tech. And then they, you know, they lost with him out of the lineup, and they, you know, they needed wins. Baylor needed wins. It's going to be really interesting to see how many teams the Big 12 gets out of the conference into the NCAA tournament, because I was in Lawrence at the end of January, went out there to do a couple of book signings when Kansas played Iowa State at home in the Phil House, and talking to Bill Self then, we were, you know, we figured at least six, and I think that's very safe, and maybe seven. That was right around the time Texas was catching fire, and they got hot, and then they cooled off, losing at Kansas State and losing at Kansas, and it's just that kind of league this year. You know, you look at it, and you wanted to say pretty much most of the year Iowa State was the second best team.
Right,
they've
right.
had a couple of tough stretches, and now your Sooners are right there, you know, and they're tied for second.
Hey, Lon Kruger, he's my selection for a Big 12 Conference Coach of the Year.
Well, you know, that rotates, I think, every week.
Hey, we are going one-on-one with award-winning sports writer and author Ken Davis. We're zeroing in on the Big 12 Conference, specifically the Kansas Jayhawks. So even with that loss against Oklahoma State last Saturday, how big of a concern was that for you at this point in the season, Ken?
Well, you know, like I said, because Oklahoma State needed it so bad, then Kansas has always had a rough time down in Stillwater. Only a concern for Kansas fans, I think, because of the way they played in the second half. And Nadir Tharp, we talked about this when I was on with you earlier in the year,
mm-hmm.
so important to this team as the point guard. And we were talking back then who was going to be the leader, because I talked to you right after they lost to Colorado and
yes.
Florida in that
yes.
little stretch there. And they had the toughest non-conference schedule in the country. And now the other concern is Joel Embiid and his back. And he started spazzing him up. Bill Self, you know, announced early in this week that he's going to hold him out of the last two regular season games of the year. You know, a very smart decision by Bill, I think, because you want him ready for postseason play. And Joel has gone through this earlier in the season where he had to miss some games because of problems physically, and you saw him spasm up against Oklahoma State, so that's a concern. Obviously, the inconsistency of Nadir Tharp remains a concern. He's had some terrific games, and he played very well when I was out there against Iowa State. And when he plays well, they're going to win. I mean, it's that simple, because the other guys around him become so much better. And you know, it's still a team loaded with freshmen. It's still this new team that, you know, he had to replace five starters at the beginning of the year. And now, you know, it's obviously now these guys have moved on. They have a lot of experience. But they still make youthful mistakes, and they turned the ball over a lot against Oklahoma State. They were doing that at the beginning of the year. They kind of got away from that for a period of time, but when they slip back into that mode where they're sloppy, then they're very vulnerable. Here's the thing: it really didn't hurt them very much seeding wise, because some of your experts like Joe Lunardi at ESPN, who does his bracketology every day or every hour or every minute. I don't know how he does it, but Syracuse had lost earlier in the day to Virginia, and Virginia had captured the ACC regular season championship. And right there in the afternoon, he before Kansas and Oklahoma State played, he moved KU up to a number one seed in the East, and he still has them there. And I think a lot of people, I know myself, looking at the power rankings that I do for Fox Sports and everything, I think there's basically five teams in the country that are in the running for number one seeds at this point. And it can change, obviously, with the conference tournaments. But I think you got to look at Florida, Wichita State as mm-hmm. locks. Arizona, in my mind, is a lock. So there's three of them right there for the top number one seeds. And then right now Kansas has that number one seed in Lunardi's group, and I agree because of the strength of schedule and everything. Now, if Embiid's injury becomes worse and they do poorly in the Big 12 conference tournament, say, that might not be such a lock. But right now people have Kansas going to the East, which I can't remember them being in the East Regional in maybe ever. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't looked that one up yet. But number one seed in the East would mean that they would start out in St. Louis in that pod, and then they would have to come to Madison Square Garden and maybe face Syracuse as a number two seed, although Syracuse losing to Boston College and Georgia Tech, they're pretty close to a number three seed right now. So a lot of things can still happen, obviously. I think the fifth team that's in running for the number one seed is Duke. Despite the fact that Virginia won the ACC, I think Duke has had a better non-conference schedule, and they play North Carolina on Saturday, obviously, and if they were to win that, North Carolina's got a 12-game winning streak going into that. So that would be a big feather in the resume of Duke. And then if they won the ACC tournament, which is not entirely possible, that thing's going to be wide open. So they could move up and easily be the number one seed in the East. But I think those are the five teams right now that are in the running. Kansas is very much there because of the non-conference schedule. It would be really interesting if they were to lose another game somewhere down the road. They would become the first team to get a number one seed, possibly with eight losses. And again, that's only made possible because they're strong RPI and they're extremely powerful strength of schedule.
We are going one-on-one right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, with Ken Davis, award-winning sports writer and author, as we zero in on his Kansas Jayhawks. And you were highlighting just some of the losses in the month of November, December, whether it was Villanova, Colorado, Florida. And I want to just step back for a moment. What was the key for the Jayhawks to get headed back on track and get headed in the right direction? Because as you had said, they played the toughest schedule in the country this year.
Yeah, and I think the San Diego State loss at home taught them a lot about what they had to do and how teams were going to play them. I talked to Bill about this, and he said, he knew that everybody was going to. Joel Embiid started emerging, the freshman center started emerging, and as a power, not only blocking shots, but with his tremendous footwork down low, and people started doubling him and even tripling him. They saw how that was going to work, and they had to move the ball. Had to get it spread out, and they needed Andrew Wiggins to emerge, obviously, as someone who played a little bit more aggressively. Andrew started doing that, and he still gets a lot of criticism. He still got to work on his handle. He sometimes looks very erratic going into the lane, but Bill still wants him to do that and wants him to attack the basket, and he's done a better job of that. I think they learned a lot about themselves playing that tough schedule, and then, as I mentioned before, Nadir Tharp is so important at the point guard, and when he plays well, they win. And Bill got frustrated with him and sat him down for a couple games. He didn't start, and Nadir admitted that taught him. he watched, he learned, he thought about what he had to do.
Well, Ken, we are up against the clock. We're going to take our first commercial break. We'll be right back with much more with Ken Davis, award-winning sports writer and author, as we get into a discussion about his new book, 100 Things Kansas Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, as we continue talking about KU basketball right here at YSR.